Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we do wish each of you fathers a happy Father's Day today. Luke chapter 17. Did I say 12 or did I say 17? Okay, how about 17? We start in verse 12. How's that? Luke 17. In verse 12, and shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is your world, that you still are in control. And Lord, we thank you that though the wrong oft seems so strong, you are the ruler yet. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to keep focused on that in these days, that your will be accomplished in the end. So please have your way in each of our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17 and verse 12. Luke 17, 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And what? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is Father's Day. How often do we thank our Heavenly Father for all that he's done? You know, I think of countries where tragedies hit, like in Haiti with the earthquake. And you know, I think about our power's been off several times, and we got a first this week. We got a letter of apology from Consumers Energy. Have you ever gotten a letter of apology? How many of you have ever gotten a bill from Consumers Energy? Okay. Anyone ever gotten an apology? We actually got a letter of apology, apologizing because our power has been off so many times this year. I could hardly believe it. It wasn't a coupon to turn in toward the next bill, but it was an apology. And I thought, wow, that's really something. We used to be on the same line as the church here. And this line, they keep on pretty faithful because Myers is on this line, same line. But they switched us a while back, and our power's been off many times. And but how often do we thank Consumers Energy when the power is on? They could turn it around and say, Have I ever gotten a thank you note from any of my customers that our power is, you know, is on? How many times do we thank God? And so I think about these countries facing different tragedies and their power is off. This morning, we could and should thank the Lord that our power is on, that we have food, clothes, vehicles that at least ran well enough to get us here. There are so many things for which we should be thankful. But how many times could God say the same thing as he did right here? Where are the nine? Only one thanked me. How often do we thank our Heavenly Father, and how often do we thank our earthly Father for all that he does for us and has done for us? Notice in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, our earthly fathers look to the Heavenly Father, at least if they're saved, they do, to supply the needs of their families. Those of you who this morning who are fathers and the breadwinners in the home, you know, in and of ourselves, we are nothing. Like Brother Bob prayed for the Bruce family, that could happen to any of us, and any of us could be without a job. Any of us could totally be devastated in any given day. And so Matthew 6 and verse 24, Matthew 6:24, No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do who? The Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That last phrase, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. People are so looking out for themselves that they're not giving God time. One of the guys at the jail last night, he said, you know, I'm making this nice thing for my dad. And he showed me, and he was doing a very nice job. And he says, you know, I know I need to spend more time in the Bible, but he says, you know, tomorrow morning when I get up, I've got to work more on this because, you know, it's Father's Day. And I said, you know what? And I gave him verse 33, but seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I said, you know what? Just the first thing when you get up, give God time. Spend time in the Bible. The first thing. I said, spend a little time with God and then work on your dad's project. And I says, I think you'll find out that your project will go well. It'll go better. And he said, you know, you're right. And so, Lord willing, this morning he got up and put God first. And so we should put God first, and we should thank God for our fathers. I remember when I was a boy, I never worried about the next meal. And my dad, when I was real young, he did plaster work. That was before the drywall days, and they were laid off every winter. And then when he got going on his own in construction, winter was kind of lean months. But even though I knew my dad was out of work at times, I never worried about the next meal. I knew that my father would take care of it, and he was depending upon the Heavenly Father to meet the needs of our family, and God did. We never went hungry, never went without a meal. So how often do we stop and thank our earthly fathers? I can remember when Julie graduated from high school. We went to the graduation, and I remember her saying and thanking her dad for all his work in putting her through school. And even if you homeschool material is expensive too. But I remember her thanking her dad. Her dad at that time, I think, was working two jobs to try to meet the needs of the family. And how often do we really stop and thank our fathers? And I know when you're married, you don't see your father as much as before. And maybe your father is with the Lord now. But we should be so much more thankful than we are. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, in the end times, one thing that is going to be very evident is a spirit of unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. 2 Timothy 3. One more sign of the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the what? Last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to who? Parents. What's the next word? Unthankful, unholy. Why would we be disobedient to our parents? Because we are unthankful for all that they do. I think of all the clothes, shoes, food that my parents provided me with growing up. To be disobedient to them is to be very unthankful. Whenever anyone does something nice for us, we should thank them for it. But we should never forget to thank our Heavenly Father. Because it's God that moves in hearts. And so we should never forget that anything good done to us, it's God moving in someone's heart to do it. And so we should never forget to thank God as well. So these lepers, only one came back to thank the Lord. Only one. And notice in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2. You know, things that are out of sight are out of mind. People that are out of sight are often out of mind as well. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. You know, I went to get some balloons, you know, for the moms, right? These big heart balloons that said Happy Mother's Day. And I wasn't thinking about buying you guys big hearts. You know, that isn't a guy thing. But I thought they would have Father's Day balloons. But you know what? They didn't have one Father's Day balloon. And I asked the lady, you know, no, don't handle. So these are kind of homemade, as you can see. I couldn't find one balloon that said Happy Father's Day. So sorry, guys. I'm not too fancy of a printer. But anyway, it's the thought that counts. Amen. So it just reminds me, though, how this world forgets. We forget our fathers. We just forget them. And it's just a reflection how we forget our Heavenly Father. I mean, what do they call the weather? Mother Nature. Okay? Who controls the weather? Our Heavenly Father controls the weather. So we just... It's just kind of in our whole society, we just kind of forget our fathers. In Jeremiah chapter 2, and that's what we do with God too. Jeremiah 2 and verse 31. O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? So I'm thinking about it. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A barren land? A land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have what? Forgotten me. How often? Days without number. Have you ever marked off your calendar when you're counting down to something? Some people do that. Every day that goes by, they X off, you know, that square. I've worked at places before that they do that. They have to constantly refer to the calendar, so they just X off, you know, the previous day, so they can always tell what day this is. God says, my people have forgotten me days without number. If God had a calendar in heaven and put an X every day that people had forgotten him, his calendar would be filled, wouldn't it? My people have forgotten me days without number. The bride can remember her attire. There's specific things that we don't forget. But there's so many important things that we do, and one of them is God. One of them is our dads. So now dads, during the day, most of the time, are out of sight if they have a job. I know some dads have to work night shifts, but Lord willing, dad can be working in the day and home with the family at night. But out of sight is out of mind. We need to pray for dads at work. We need to pray. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, we need to pray for dad when he's driving to work. You know what that means? Tell me what that means. If you're going to pray for dad while he's driving to work, what does that mean? You got to be awake, okay? A dream about praying for dad while he's driving to work doesn't do it, okay? You got to be awake. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we need to pray. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our dads. How can you help your dad at work? The boss won't let you go. You can help your dad at work. You can pray. You can pray for safety as your dad goes to work, as he works, as he comes home from work. You could pray that God will prosper your dad on the job and that your boss, his boss will see that and will reimburse him accordingly. Like Joseph in Genesis 39. Let's turn there. God prospered Joseph. And you know what? God can prosper your dad. Pray for him. You can help your dad. Help him through prayer. Genesis 39. Pray. God, please prosper the company where my dad works for my dad's sake and help the boss to see it. Help the boss to see the things that my dad works on that God prospers at. Help his boss to see that he's a valuable employee and that he needs to recompense him accordingly for the hard work and the blessing that you bring upon him. In Genesis 39, verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a what? Prosperous man. Now remember, Joseph is a slave. But God says he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made what? All that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. You know what? If your dad, if everything he does, God causes it to prosper, the boss is going to like your dad. And you need to pray. We need to pray for our dads. Lord, bless my dad on his job. And help the boss to see it, that he is a valuable employee. Thank God if you have a dad that's a faithful worker, faithful worker. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unsaved person. An unsaved person. So 1 Timothy 5:8 says that we as Christian men should provide for our own. And if we don't, then we're being a bad testimony. When I worked at a truss rafter factory, there was a man just close to the line where I worked. And he ran a saw all day long. And one day he was gone. He was gone more than one day, but on one particular day in mine, he was gone. And the next day he come back and said, I called into the shop here yesterday and told him I was sick. And he says, my wife thought I was at work and I wasn't. And he said, what I was really doing yesterday was out on the lake fishing. So he lies to his boss that he's sick. He lies to his wife. She thinks he's at work. He's out fishing. And knowing this guy, he was probably out there drinking too. And you know what? You need to thank God that you don't have a dad like that. A liar for a dad. You need to thank God that you don't have a drunkard for dad. You need to thank God that you don't have a dad that lies to your mom. You need to thank the Lord for that. So, dads need our prayers and they need our encouragement. And they have a big responsibility. Responsibility that a dad can't meet. How can a dad guarantee he can provide for his family? None of us men can. It's only with God's help can we provide for the home. So, another thing about dads we don't often think about is the loneliness. In any leadership position, there's loneliness. I heard that years ago and I thought, how can a leadership position be lonely? It seems like leaders are always talking to people. How can it be lonely? Well, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you might get a little glimpse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Did your dad feel lonely this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 14. 2 Corinthians 12, 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very, what? Gladly do what? Spend and what? Be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the what? The less I be loved. Now stop and think about that. Verse 14, the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now, sometimes I'll see a motor home and on the front license plate, it'll say, I'm spending my children's inheritance. Well, the children shouldn't have to lay up for the parent. The parent should lay up for the children. And verse 15, he had no problem with that. I will very gladly spend and be spent. So you stop and think about all that your dad has done for you. The first part of that verse was very noble. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Your dad can work hard and long, providing for you clothes, food. And a godly dad will not begrudge that. A godly dad will not think and grumble inside saying, oh, I wish I didn't have to provide for all this food and clothes. Then I could, you know, buy more toys, you know, big boys' toys. No, a godly dad doesn't feel that way. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent. Now, the last part of that is referring to literally giving years of his life and his energy for you. It's not just spending money, but years and energy. In fact, at the end of the day, your dad might come home a little leaning over a little more. I noticed, I guess especially when I work construction work, that when I'd go to work in the morning, I'd adjust the rear view mirror. And when I would come home, I would have to adjust it down every day. Because I just wasn't sitting quite as straight as I was in the morning from the heavy load carrying all day long. And so the shoulders get bent over. And so he said, I'll very gladly spend and be spent. Appreciate that when your dad comes home tired. Appreciate he did that for you. He did that for you to prepare for you. So do you ever welcome your dad home? Do you even know when he gets home? Notice in John chapter 14, Now, there's nothing wrong with a dog greeting dad, but you know what? You ought to beat the dog. If you have a dog, you ought to beat the dog. Your dad ought to know that the people in that house, in his house, appreciate him more than the animals. I think Jephthah thought that's what was going to happen when he got back home. He thought the animals was going to meet him, but something different happened that day. It was his daughter that came out, and he made a vow, thinking it was going to be some animal coming out, and it was his daughter. That wasn't what he had planned, but kind of tells you what probably was the normal around his house. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you. And if I go and what? Prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord Jesus has seen, gone back to heaven and is preparing a place for us. And so then we are to be watching for him. Dad has gone to work to prepare so we can have food and clothes and a home, vehicles. And we, what should we be doing? Same thing. We should be watching for him. Notice in Matthew 24, the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, and he tells us to be watching for him when he's coming again. And you know what? When Dad comes, we should be watching for him. We should welcome him. We should greet him. In Matthew 24, verse 37, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. What's the first word of verse 42? Watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now I know there's cell phones today, so dad can, on the way home, can say, to mom, I'll be there in so many minutes. Especially if your dad works a job that's not always getting out at an exact time. The thing is the Lord is not going to call on your cell phone just before he comes. Hey, Mike, I just want to let you know that in 20 minutes, I'm going to be there. In 20 minutes, you're going to hear the trumpet sound. So be watching. Now, that maybe would be nice, but it's not going to be that way. It's going to happen suddenly. And the Lord tells us to watch. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he tells us, watch for me because I'm coming again. So when dad leaves to go to work, watch. Watch, he's coming again, Lord willing, and to return to us. So, before the flood, though, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They had all their plans. Everybody was busy. Is it that way when Dad returns? Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. I don't have time to watch for Dad. I've got too many things to do. I know Dad's coming at a certain time, but I've got too much to do. No. Are we really watching? Are we really watching? Are we ready for him? Or are we eating and drinking, making our own plans? I don't have time to wait for Dad because I've got my own plans. This evening, I've got my plans. So, as dads, we're responsible to nurture and care for our families. Notice back in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 4. We have a responsibility to nurture and care for our families. Ephesians 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, children need dads that are godly and that love them and will teach them the Bible, will teach them godly things. Children do not need dads that are out with the boys playing with their toys. There are some people that just don't grow up. They get married, and they still got to go out with the boys. I mean, they got to go out and play. And at that same time, they're neglecting their family. I mean, they work hard all day, but instead of spending the time with the family, they're thinking about, man, I can't wait. This is a beautiful day. As soon as I get home, I'm heading out for the golf course. Or as soon as I get home, I'm heading out for the speedboat or whatever the toy is. And they neglect their family. And so we can't do that as dads either. I just had a dad say to me just within the last couple of weeks. He said, 4 nights out of the week, I'm out playing ball. Okay. Where's your family those 4 nights? We play family softball. You're gone 4 nights playing ball? Well, where's your family? So our children need us more than the grown-up boys need us. They can find somebody else for the ball team. They can find somebody else for the bowling league. But our families need us. So dads, what we do rubs off on our children. What we glorify, our children will glorify. Notice with me in Proverbs 17. I saw this when I was a boy. When I was a boy, I heard dads sometimes glorify the sinful and maybe the more mischievous times of their lives. Now, sometimes the dads would glorify, like, maybe they had a fast car. And so they would glorify the days when maybe they outran the police. Days were a little different back then. And boy, that'd be a shame to glorify something like that and then have your boy thrown in jail because he tried to outrun the police. These hot little motorcycles, that they're doing wheelies with, going about 100 miles an hour down the road. One day, a couple of them went by the church here doing wheelies right at coming up that hill. But I think it was one of those last night that went by our house. And just a short time later, a state policeman come by with his red light flashing. But when I was growing up in church, sometimes I would hear these grown men kind of glorify those old days. And I saw their sons grow up and do the same things with cars and get in trouble. So notice in Proverbs 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their what? Fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. What we do and what we glorify, our children are going to think, I want to do that. A good example is we were out witnessing the week before last, and for several houses, we could hear these dirt bikes going or behind this house. And so we finally got up to that house, and I was expecting at that house to really get the cold shoulder. I don't know why, but I just expected that. But so the kids are out back going around this dirt track with the dirt bikes, and the dad comes out to the door. It's my turn to speak, and so I began to talk to him. And so I mentioned to him about the dirt bikes, and he raised up his right hand, his fingers all swollen, and talked about his surgery and all the pins in his hand. And guess how he did that? Dirt bike. Dirt bike. What the dad gives his life to, many times the children give their lives to. And so here's a dad who's messed all up his hand. And his children are back there thinking, wow, this is neat. Why? Because although dad has pins in his hand now, he can't wait to get back on a dirt bike. Thick skull, But what we as dads glorify, other than by the grace of God, our children are going to glorify too. And so I learned just from listening and watching as a boy, never, never tell stories about your foolish days in front of your children because they'll think, wow, that sounds fun. I think I'll try that. And then it may break your heart, what they do. So part of the problem of our nation lays at our feet as dads. Notice in Malachi chapter 4, Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. Our children will see us make enough mistakes without telling them our mistakes of the past. We'll have all we can do to overcome our mistakes that we make just in life. In front of their eyes, let alone bringing up bad history. I threw out all my school yearbooks when I got right with God because in some of those books I had long hair and I didn't want my children seeing that. And so I threw them away. And I'm not proud of that. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4. Remember ye the what? The law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of who? The fathers to who? The children. And the heart of who? The children to who? Their fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with what? A curse. The first responsibility there is on us fathers, to turn our hearts toward our children. Because it's real easy as a dad to be selfish. You work hard all day, and you naturally think, what I want to do this evening is this. It's easy to forget all about the family. I've worked hard. I remember when we were first married, and I hated my job. You know that. You could tell the story as well as I could now. And so my grandfather lived just down the road from us, and he had an old John Deere tractor that sounded like it was on its last leg, but that's how all of them sounded. You know, it fired about every 2 minutes, it seemed like, you know. But it had a bucket on it, and so the farm boy in me, you know, I was working in this factory all day long, and many times I could just think about, you know, hey, this evening, I'd like to get on the tractor and do something. And, you know, I got a John Deere tractor for Father's Day. Did you know that? On a card, not a birthday card, a Father's Day card. But, that, you know, so with dads, whatever your thing is, it's real easy to think, you know what, when I finally get off of this job, I'm just going to relax doing whatever I enjoy doing. And it's easy for us dads to forget about our families. But the first thing here in verse 6 is that our hearts as fathers needed to be turned to our children, and then the heart of the children to the fathers. So it's a two-way thing, but it starts with us dads. And so I pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts, that we'd be thankful to our fathers all the years. And I didn't figure it out. For the moms, I figured up all the hours. And that was like $4 million, wasn't it? $4 million. Each of us owe our mom $4 million for raising us. So, most of us can't pay that much up. So they've got a lot of reward in heaven. Amen. But we should be very thankful. And we should be thankful for our dads. I wanted to ask you the question. Does your dad feel lonely? You may say, well, what do you mean does he feel lonely? He's the one that gets to go all day long. Why should he feel lonely? We're stuck here in the house. He's out and about. Is it the dog that meets your dad first? You may say, well, the dog can outrun me. Then chain that thing. Amen? You chain the dog. You meet dad before the dog does, before the dog can. Appreciate your dad. Appreciate him all the hours. On graduation day, need to thank God for our dads, all they've done for us. And along with that, we need to thank our Heavenly Father. Whenever anyone does something nice for us, make sure we also thank our Heavenly Father for so moving them to care for us and to do nice things for us. And as dads, may God speak to our hearts. Our Heavenly Father gave His only begotten Son for us. His pure Son, His pure blood was shed on that cross for us to wash away our sins. And may we appreciate it, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Father's Day, a reminder to us to be thankful to our dads. But Lord, help us to be thankful for them more than just one Sunday out of a whole year. And Father, I pray that You'd help us as children, as fathers, parents. Lord, help us to appreciate one another and help us not to forget You, Father, for all that You have done for us. Please work in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.